Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, and it's my absolute privilege to be your host for tonight's call on Tuesday night, October 4th, the first Tuesday of October 2016, and I have an absolutely world-class guest for you tonight. I have none other than Susan Sly. Susan, are you on the line with me? Are you there somewhere, Susan? Well, I'm sure Susan will make it to the line with me this evening. So if you are on this call, I want to welcome each and every one of you. This is going to be a fabulous call, and it's going to be filled with outstanding content. I want to cover a few quick announcements, then we'll move into the inspiration portion of tonight's call. This coming Saturday, I will be in beautiful Long Island, New York. I've been going to Long Island for several years, and I absolutely cannot wait for that for this event. It's going to be a world-class event, and many of you will be there, so look forward to connecting with as many of you who show up. And I'm also going to be bringing some new content out specifically for that event. October 15th, I'll be in Columbia, South Carolina with three of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of coaching, and I also want to thank my good friend Carlotta Davis, who is hosting the event, and I'll also be sharing some great time with Jennifer Corliss-Trinkner, Bridget Bartley, and Carlotta. So that will be an awesome event. I have the privilege of speaking in the great state of South Carolina two times a year. And October 22nd, I will be in Tampa, Florida with C.G. Siddons. That will be my first speaking engagement in Tampa in my career. And I've spoken around Tampa many times. I've spoken in Estero, Fort Myers, and many other cities on the Gulf Coast, but never in Tampa. So look forward to that event. October 29th, second time in my career, Missoula, Montana, one of those beautiful cities in Big Sky Country. On November 12th, Dallas, Texas, my first generic event in a few years. So I'm really looking forward to Dallas, Texas, and that is at the Westin Hotel at the airport at DFW. November 19th, I'll be in Weehawken, New Jersey with Dawn Ferrantino. Dawn and I have spoken many times this year, and Dawn had the privilege of sharing the stage at an event last week with the great John Maxwell. So Dawn has been a featured speaker on my call and shared the events, many events with me in 2016. As I move into December, it'll be All She Wrote. As we move into the last two events, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, December 3rd, Fort Lauderdale, Florida on December 17th. I'll be opening 2017 with Marina Del Rey, January 21st, New Orleans, January 28th, Philadelphia, February 4th, and Baltimore, Maryland, March 18th are on the books. And I am starting to fill in my schedule for 2017. It's a very interesting ring with it, 2017. So we still have plenty of time left here in the last 3 months, the 90-day game plan of 2016. So we have some great content for you tonight. If you'd like to take advantage of one of my free 15-minute coaching sessions and not taken advantage of that before, you can contact me directly at my home office number, and this number will ring directly to me, 209-932-0227, or you can inbox me on Facebook with your phone number and what you would like to seek from a 15-minute coaching session with me. Susan, do I have you on the line yet?
Jeffrey, I am here. I am listening. And the thing that I want to say to everyone is definitely all of Jeffrey's events and Dallas, fond memories, my brother.
Many events. And we'll cover some of that content on tonight's call. But I'm going to give you the proper edification that you DESERVE deserve to receive. So for those of you who have not met Susan, Susan has been a 15-year friend of mine. And it's with unequivocal privilege and pleasure that I have the distinct opportunity to edify and introduce Susan Sly for the exceptional entrepreneur, philanthropist, businesswoman, mompreneur, and first-class friend and world-class human being. Susan is a best-selling author, speaker, trainer, entrepreneur, and she's appeared on CNN, CNBC, Fox, Lifetime Television, CBN, The Morning Show in Australia, and been quoted in Forbes Online. She's also the author of 7 books. Her book project with New York Times bestselling author Jack Canfield made 6 Amazon bestselling lists. She's completed the Boston Marathon 6 times and placed top 10 in the pro division of Ironman Triathlon in Malaysia. Now, that's a whole other story. I want Susan to project a little on what it was like to finish that event. Susan is passionate about philanthropy and dedicated a significant amount of time and money to liberate women and girls from trafficking, and she's invested in education to support women and girls who survive trauma and abuse both domestically and overseas. Susan is the mother of 5 children and resides with her exceptional husband, Chris, in Scottsdale, Arizona. You can find out more about Susan directly at SusanSly.com. Now, that is Susan's bio, but here is my contribution to that bio. I had the privilege of meeting Susan in 2001 through one of my clients, and I had the privilege of seeing Susan's story absolutely come to fruition. So every time I hear Susan's story on stage, the many of the times I've spoken with her, I had the distinct privilege of being right there with her as she went through her ups and downs. I also had the privilege of receiving an email from Susan on March 15th of 2005 as she indicated to me that she had her first $800 day and her first 4-figure week in network marketing and direct sales. I had the privilege of having Susan share the stage with Jim Rohn on 3 different occasions, and she declared at one of my events, More Heart Than Talent, back in the day, 2005, that the following year she would be sharing the stage with Jim Rohn, and she absolutely delivered by bringing over 100 of her teammates to that event. I've shared the stage with Susan over 50 times. She is not only a great businesswoman, entrepreneur, and philanthropist, but she is the first-class friend that every one of you deserve to have in your life. Susan, it is my unequivocal privilege to have you on tonight's call, and I'm bringing you my feelings for you directly from the center of my heart.
Jeffrey, thank you so much. And
it's just a love fest.
Yeah, it is a love fest, and what an incredible introduction. And I really want to say that, Jeffrey, if you listen to Jeffrey do an edification, and I've had the privilege to coach with Jeffrey and learn from Jeffrey over, 15 years now, he is the best that there is. So thank you for that. I feel your heart, my brother.
Thank you, and Susan, 15 million, 5 kids, 15 years in free enterprise, network marketing, direct sales, and then all the other businesses you've owned. I mean, many people want to know, how do you stay organized? I mean, how do you even write a book on organization and stay organized, organize your life?
Well, it's profound, and I want to go back, it's a great question, to some of our earliest dialogue around, not so much for me, but the observation of people who operate in chaos and people who are addicted to chaos, addicted to pain, and you specialize in helping people with addictions. And so many people out there are operating from a place where they're not designing their day, they're getting up, they're letting life happen to them, they've got their priorities mixed up, they go through the day exhausted, their cortisol levels go up, by nighttime they're, you know, downing a bottle of wine. I know lots of people like this just to cope. They're binge-watching Netflix and they're wondering why their business isn't doing anything. And it's interesting because we all have more time to invest in our dreams and our goals than we're making use of. But it's how we're choosing to operate in time and how we shift our identity to being more organized as opposed to being in chaos and being a procrastinator. So for myself, organization is essential. As many of you know, I was diagnosed with progressive MS back in 2000, and 3 days later, my heart was ripped out because I caught my then husband in an affair. I went online, I was looking at the MS symptoms and all sorts of things about the disease, and a chat log came up, and it was like, hey, baby. And I clicked on it, and sure enough, there was this whole log, and, you know, I found out other things. And we've rectified it now. We're all good. And I'm not married to him. He's not my current husband. We're friends, kind of laugh about things. But the biggest thing was, for me, as my life began to unravel, and 16 weeks later, I lost my business. And there I was, living on my brother-in-law's sofa, single mom. My little girl, Avery, was 3 years old at the time. I'd lost my self-worth, my identity. I only had one choice. And I said this many times from stage, in the face of challenge, we can either give up or get better. And that's why I only surround myself, my inner circle, people I would take a bullet for and who would take a bullet for me, are people of integrity who have gone through challenges like Jeffrey and come out the other side and making that choice to get better. Because if you want to be successful in free enterprise, you can't be a victim. And for me, it would have been very easy to be a victim, and I chose not to. So I had to become organized. It was a necessity. I had to become productive, because when you have progressive MS and you're tired or you're dropping things or brain fog or all the fun stuff that goes along with it, that when you're feeling good, you have to get as much done as you physically can. And by the grace of God, over the last 16 years, I've done a lot of things to really keep the symptoms under control. But even to this day, I still have MS. So I like to work in 90-minute blocks. I like to be very deliberate, lead a very balanced life. And so it's organization's essential, Jeffrey. And, you know, wouldn't you agree? Someone can't say, oh, I want to make all this money, but they're still operating in chaos. It doesn't work like that.
I unequivocally agree. And not only being organized, but letting go of the addiction of being overwhelmed. And I'm going to shed a little light. This is the Jeffrey Combs, Susan Sly story, Susan. So we're going to tell them exactly how this all happened. I'm going to give the abbreviated version, then I'm going to have you fill in the blanks, and you're going to deliver great content. I met Susan through one of my coaching clients in 1999. I was coaching a woman who was a successful network marketer and had been in the industry as many years as I had. She had told me about Susan in 2001. At this point, Susan was in the process of overcoming some of her health challenges, and she was in the process of moving into another network marketing company. I watched Susan have her first four-figure month in a company called Royal Tangen Limu. Remember those days, Susan?
I do. I do very much, yeah.
And I actually had a case of that green seaweed juice. Now, Susan, you're like me. We've sold some odd products. I once sold homeopathic, natural, fruit-flavored, apricot-tasting, homeopathic appetite suppressant jello beans. It took a lot to even say that. Unfortunately, they sat on a warehouse floor in Dallas, Texas, and they melted in the bottle, and the clients had challenges getting them out of the bottle. That was back in the day. But I watched you, Susan, start to build one of your first companies, and you were moving into momentum, and unfortunately, that company went out of business. And with it went your downline, your genealogy, and once again, another dream dashed into disappointment. I also watched you pick back up relatively quickly and start with a relatively new startup company that you went on to become one of the top income earners in the history of that company. But I watched you in the inception in a startup company. Now, many people on tonight's line have entered network marketing and direct sales in a top-tier company that's almost a billion-dollar company. But you, like me, are a pioneer, and you were in a startup company, more than one of them. I was in a couple of them that failed, as you were. And in a startup company with a brand-new pay plan back in that area that was not really developed out, called the binary. At one time, binaries were considered to be pyramids, and you were in a startup company that had one product. And I watched you go from a woman who had struggled with her health, with a daughter, a new husband, and just literally gritted it out. What was it like back in that era in a startup company, Susan, coming off a failed company that you had lost your entire genealogy and your people lost their ability to follow you because of that venture?
For sure. And we didn't have social media back then. And I'm, you know, for the visual learners, I mean, Jeffrey and I are both trained in NLP. So if you're a very visual person, I'm just going to paint a picture for the era. So going back to that time, the iPhone didn't exist. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have social media. And so your genealogy was accessed by going into your back office. And sometimes, depending on the company, you got phone numbers or you didn't. The only way you could physically connect with people was to email. And so that was kind of that period of time. And so in terms of database building, you were just building your email database, and you'd meet someone in your team and you'd be like, hey, what's your email, and that kind of thing. You'd build relationships with people on calls.
Don't forget, you were listening to my cassettes back then too, Susan.
Oh, yeah, babe. I'm getting to that. And but with the genealogy, that's all we had. So in today's era of doing business, you're building your list using social media. You're building your list maybe using a contact manager like iContact or Infusionsoft or whatever it is you're using. And so you have many ways to connect with all of your organization. So if something happened to your team, the rug isn't entirely swept out from under you because you can access everyone. Now, back in those days, that wasn't the case. So if you had a significant size team, you better hope and pray that you had their email addresses and their phone numbers, and their, you know, and that was it. So also back in that era, all of the trainings we really did, a lot of them were either for, you know, there were like a couple big generic events a year that you might attend. Companies weren't putting on as many events as they do now. A lot of companies put on tons of events. Jeffrey and I were talking about this earlier today. And the lifeline, if you wanted to be a professional network marketer, was the Thursday night Cutting Edge Media Call. And so that's where I first met Jeffrey and heard him live. And I want to start my first point of training with everyone tonight is that it's so important that you create a vision that is worthy of your life. When Jeffrey almost died from drinking a gallon of vodka and he came through that, he created a vision of sobriety that was worthy of his life. When I went to the bottom and I had nothing, I created a vision that was worthy for my life. And so on these calls, I was living in a little apartment in Toronto, Ontario, at Avenue and Eglinton. And Chris, my husband and I, who, you know, we went to high school together, we met, we moved in on our second date. So we've just actually, Jeffrey celebrated 16 years together over Labor Day weekend. And he was not supportive. And if you're listening and your partner isn't supportive, just really do hear my words. So
I remember him. We used to talk about his parents, remember?
Exactly. That's a whole other topic. They were just at my house. That's a whole other thing. I love them. But anyway, so he oftentimes, and go ahead, write this down. A friend of mine, Sarah, said this last week to me, and it was one of the most profound things I'd ever heard, that wounded people wound people. Healed people heal people. And because I was surrounded by a lot of wounded people who were trying to wound me, they were trying to bring me down, you know, trying to get me to create an identity of owning multiple sclerosis that I wasn't going to own, I still never will until my dying day, that there were a lot of people criticizing me about network marketing, and one of them was my husband. And so for me, Thursday nights became, much like the culture Jeffrey has created on Tuesday, it became my IV. It became my oxygen. It became my armor. So I would get on there and I would hear Jeffrey, and then I would hear Todd Falcone and Doug Feuerbach and all these, like, Jim Rohn. When, like, it was just, you know, every Thursday night. But of all of the people I heard, it was Jeffrey who resonated with me the most. And I felt like I could relate to his pain and I could relate to his triumph. And Jeffrey became a mentor and a stand for me before he even knew me. And I had one of his cassette tapes and I wore the thing out. And if you remember Sony Walkmans, Jeffrey, I'm sure you do. So I had a...
You still listen to Loverboy on it.
I listened to In Excess.
That was good.
And Michael Hutchins, poor guy. Anyway, so
I know how he died. That's a whole other story.
That's another story. I saw them. Jeff and I will have some rabbit holes, but I saw them live with Ziggy Marley in Toronto. It was a great concert a long time ago.
Were you smoking weed?
No. Mm-mm. No.
Pop brownies?
No. I was like 15 years old. I was with my cousin. So, no, I wasn't doing any of that. But anyway, to go back to where we were. So I had this Walkman, and I was listening to Jeffrey's cassettes. And then my friend Deborah, who is my upline team leader, gave me a bunch of Jeffrey's cassettes. And Jeffrey, do you remember when you had the long hair on the cover of one on the rock?
I do. That I had a mullet.
Yes.
A mini mullet. No, it wasn't that long.
Not, it wasn't a full mullet. It was like partial. But it was like, it was awesome. And you were very intense in that pose, right? Like
I was in the French Riviera. That is correct.
It was beautiful. So I had that. And I was listening, and I learned how to develop posture. I learned from Jeffrey how to close a sale and double book cold leads, and I would get the leads from Cutting Edge Media, and they would come down in Excel spreadsheets. And I learned very quickly not to start calling the top of the lead list because we didn't have autoresponders and things back in those days, that if I'd start calling the top one, they had already been called by 6 or 7 other people. So I started at the bottom of the list. And if you've ever seen the movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, one of the best movies for network marketers in the world, where he starts at the top of his list. He calls Walter Ribbon. That's the big guy that he wants to call. I started at the bottom of the list because these people were fresh and they hadn't been called, because when we downloaded the lead list, there would be like 400 people on the list. And I learned from Jeffrey how to double and triple book my times and become really efficient, because in those days, Chris was working full-time on Bay Street in Canada as a chartered accountant. I was working full-time for Sports Clubs of Canada, and I was a sales manager for them. So I was a personal training sales manager. I had 52 employees. And I was the number one producing sales manager out of 444 clubs in North America. And they would take my sales quota, my U.S. sales quota, convert it to Canadian dollars, and the dollar back then was about $1.40 on the dollar. And then all of my sales I made, they converted them back. So if the fluctuation in the currency, I could make my quota and I would get a bonus, but if the currency fluctuated, I would actually lose my bonus. So I had all of these things going on, and if it was my month end, I had to work 7 days a week. I'd be in the club at 5 in the morning, closing it out at 11, helping my people close their sales, and on top of it, I had a little girl. And on top of it, I was still racing professional triathlon because I didn't tell my coach or my sponsors or anyone I was sick. So I figured out that I had precisely 1 hour to 90 minutes every single day to call leads. And I had this little closet in the apartment. It was in the front right-hand corner as you were facing the street. And I had this table that I had purchased at a flea market. And I had this old Dell computer. Remember the computers with the big monitors? I mean, this thing.
And they had that big back in the back end, right?
Yes, and they got really hot, right? So that you turn the thing on, it was like, and it was really loud. But I had to have posture. People didn't know I was standing in a closet in an apartment in Toronto with an unsupportive partner and all this life going on. So
and don't forget, long distance was a whole different story.
Yeah, let's tell that story. So the
could be $2,000 a month is what it could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a $1,600 phone bill, and Chris freaked out. He yelled at me. He doesn't mind me telling the story because Chris has coached with Jeff. We've done breakthroughs. I mean, we're so good now, but we had to come through this place. We almost got divorced, and there was one time he said, "Choose me or choose network marketing."
Susan, so you remember at the tenth of every month? That's when your downline would quit back then. They'd quit because they'd get their phone bill. That's classic.
Mm-hmm.
They'd get a $2,000 phone bill, and they'd be one and done, like, see a chief. I got a $2,000 phone bill. I'm out of here.
And people, Jeffrey, when people complain to me in today, in 2016, that network marketing is hard, all you have to do today is have your cell phone and the product for your company. You don't have $1,600. If you have a $1,600 phone bill, like, you know, get your phone out of, like, 1995, friends. Like, this is so easy to do network marketing in today's climate. Like, people have nothing to complain about. You used to have to fly everywhere to do meetings. Now we can just do a Zoom meeting. You know, I do Zoom opportunity meetings. You could do all those things. You have your private Facebook groups. It's so easy. In fact, it's so easy. I think it's too easy, and people go into these success comas because they start to get their groove and then they sabotage themselves. That's a whole other story. But, you know, back to that early period of time, calling the leads, I would double, triple book them onto a live call. Jeffrey taught me how to do that.
That means you have more than one phone going and you're dialing leads into it. That's what it means, double bookings. And you'd be scheduling people into a live call, and not all the calls back then were muted, remember?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, the things I have heard on phone calls, I want to keep this, like this call, I want to keep it absolutely PG, but the things I've heard on phone calls, it just is mind-blowing, and people didn't know how to mute their phone and stuff like that, or non-compliant things. So what happened in one company, so I was booking all my prospects to get, we had twice a week we had live 20-minute opportunity calls, and there would be two in each day, Tuesday and Thursday. So what I would do is I'd be like, let's say I was talking to Carl from Ohio. I'd say, Carl, you sound like the precise person I'd like to work with and mentor. So we have a live call tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to call you at 9:05. We'll have a conversation. I'll bring you onto the call because, you know, I've called hundreds of people, but I really like what you have to say. So I'd say something like that. And then now I'm going to call Sally in Tampa. I'd say, Sally, you know, you said to me it's important to you to earn an extra $1,500 a month from the comfort of your own home. And, you know, obviously you have a very big why. You've got sales experience. You're precisely the kind of person I'd like to work with. We have a live call tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and I'm going to call you at 9:05 and bring you on. So you do this, and you know that not everyone's going to show up. So then I'd call Carl, and let's say Carl's there. I'd say, Carl, listen, I'm going to give you the number for the call. I've got Sally in Tampa. She is literally ready to sign up with me right now. I'm going to call her and bring her on, but here's what I'm going to do because you are such a quality person. I will call you back precisely 15 minutes after the call has ended. Then I'd call Sally. I'd say, Sally, listen, the call's about to start. I've got Carl in Ohio. He is ready to go. So as soon as the call ends, if you're ready to go, I need to know because he is either going to be upline to you or downline to you. I know you don't know what that means, but you're either going to make money off him or he's going to make money off you. Which one do you want it to be? And so that's how I learned how to double and triple close on a call.
It's two and done, two phone calls done. That's how it was. It was that simple.
And we had to work. Like now people are like Facebook lazy. And a friend said to me, if you're only building your business on Facebook, it's like building your dream house on rented land. Like people are Facebook lazy. It's like, oh, I messaged someone and they didn't get back to me. Network marketing doesn't work. If you had to work as hard as Jeffrey myself did back in the day, oh my gosh. And Jeffrey, do you remember when you had that like live presentation center and then people would be like jamming out calls, you were running ads and then they bring them to this live presentation that you did? I mean,
oh, but here's something else. My upline, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was like, My first company was Herbalife, and my upline told me that I had to rent an office. I'm like, rent an office? I mean, that was a WTF moment. What am I renting an office? And so within 60 days, I have an office in Dublin, California, with $4,000 overhead. I'm like, this happened so fast. I'm like, how'd this happen to me? Oh, I'm the only guy with a credit card, and I'm the only guy that's over 30. So I'm like, I'm negotiating how to rent a lease. Unfortunately, I get a lease for a year rather than three or five. So I've got these, I'm 33 years old, 2 years clean and sober, and I have these 19 and 20-year-old kids in my office that are supposed to be paying me desk rent. I'm like, what the fuck? What am I having desk rent? So I'm collecting desk rent, trying to build a business, and I have a they're called the PBR, private business reception, at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. And I'm commuting an hour to the East Bay of San Francisco from where I live. I'm running ads in the Contra Costa Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, San Jose Mercury News, Stockton Record, Modesto B, all the papers. I get blackballed by every one of them because, oh, you're network marketing. So I had to figure out other ways to create leads. And I'm in my office smiling and dialing, booking appointments at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. And I'm making no money, phone bill of over $2,000. And if I don't collect the desk rent from these 10 desks, then I can't pay the rent. And I'm like, And I quit a job with $5,000 in the bank, and then my whole game changes when I enroll this one guy, Jerry Clark. It changed my whole life, that one guy. And within 60 days, I had 60 people in my downline. Now, this is a whole different era of network marketing. It's a breakaway pay plan, costs $3,000 to get started. You get 40 boxes. There's no auto ship. You get your check in the mail with these green perforated thing that comes from the dot matrix. Remember that has your downline and genealogy on it? Remember this era?
I do, yeah.
And in my first $4,000 month, I had an $8,000 month, a $15,000 month. I mean, this happened. This was my indoctrination, and it was exciting. It didn't seem difficult. It wasn't hard. I didn't whine about the phone bill because that's just how it was. It wasn't. You don't know what you don't know. I thought it was cool. I had my first phone that didn't have a cord. I mean, that was like, hey, I can go outside.
And it's the price you pay. Back in those days, we expected to make an investment, and I'm going to get my pointy shoes on, and many of you who've ever heard me before know I'm a very loving person. In fact, Jeffrey has accused me of just being, like, too kind at times.
Yeah, TFN. Like,
yeah, I know. But I am going to put my pointy shoes on. Back in those days, we expected to make an investment because we were investing in a business. In 2016, people are so entitled, they even freak out just buying their product. And a lot of network marketing companies like, oh, your enrollment fee is $30, $40, $50. You don't even have to pay a monthly fee to see your downline. All you have to do is buy your initial product to start making commissions. Hello? Jeffrey, if we had that back in those days, you know, it was like, think about it. We had to invest thousands of dollars for the phone bill, plus, you know, buying the leads, doing all that stuff. If we want it, sometimes if you want access to your downline, do you remember this, Jeffrey? You have to call the company.
I do. I mean, it was a trip. But here's what's really unique about you, Susan, is that what many people don't know is that you called thousands of leads from a company called Cutting Edge Media, and these were 10-cent leads, 50-cent leads, and dollar leads. So anyone that's ever trained with Falcone, it's the same situation. Falcone goes back in the industry as long as I do. He started in the industry in 88. I started in 88 myself. I mean, you just didn't have leads. It was a luxury to have 10-cent leads. And I used to buy 500 leads for $50, and I would call every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think back to that, and now you can generate free leads on social media if you know what you're doing. You can, if I wanted to, I was mentoring this gal one time, and she was a flight attendant, and she said, I need to get leads. So I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go on our friend Google, and you're going to create a lead list. So she decided she was going to call personal trainers in New Jersey. This is just what she was going to do. This is a great story. So she ends up enrolling this personal trainer in New Jersey. And she says to me, she's like, Susan, he enrolled his client. His client has some questions. My background is nutrition and fitness. She said, I've got to fly. Do you mind doing the call with this guy and his client? And I said, you know what? Absolutely. I'll do it. No problem. Because if you want success bad enough, write this down and you guys can, you know, tweet this back to me at Susan_Sly or Facebook back to me on Susan Sly Live. If you want success bad enough, you have to be willing to show up, right? It would be easy to be like, success isn't convenient, friends. So it would be easy for me like, oh, I don't feel like it. I've got two little kids. Anyway, so this is the best call I ever did. So the guy says, yes, my client, she's, you know, just started on the products and she's getting some great results. She has some questions. I said, great. So I said, what's her name? And he said, Gloria. And I said, oh. I said, Gloria, okay, great. And he goes, well, you know, you may have heard of her. She's kind of well known. Her name is Gloria Gaynor. And I went, you know,
I will survive.
Oh, yeah, because that was my jam. When I was going through my divorce, I would, like, walk around my apartment. I'd be singing, like, at first I was afraid, I was petrified, you know, at the top of my lungs.
Susan, you know how I saw her warm up with? I saw her in Kansas City with the Village People.
Now that's a concert.
Gloria Gaynor and the Village People, that was a trip.
Oh, my gosh. That would be an amazing.
So you enrolled Gloria Gaynor?
I didn't, but through this gal that I taught to generate her leads, enrolled her, Gloria Gaynor's personal trainer. And so it's the way, thanks to social media, thanks to the internet, the stuff Jeffrey, myself, people like Falcone didn't have, oh my gosh, you know, this is not a complicated business, but you have to have a few things. One, you have to have a clear-cut vision. That hasn't changed in the last decade and a half. Number two, you have to be willing to do the work, and you have to be willing to get organized. And then the third thing I want to talk about, and I'd love for Jeffrey to weigh in on this too, is something I call mixed messages. I put out a video on YouTube every single week. I just did a video called mixed messages, and I teach this to my students and my clients. So mixed messages send a loud, clear signal that you are not ready for what you say you want. So let's say you've joined a company. Okay, let's say you've joined a company and you're all fired up, but you still have materials from your last company there. You're basically sending a signal that says, hey, you know, I'm putting my toe in the water, but if this doesn't work, I'll go back, right? It would be like having your great love and keeping love letters from past loves, or it would be like being sober and keeping, you know, vodka and wine and everything else in your house. It would be like someone who's saying, I have to lose 100 pounds, but you have a cupboard full of
oil. Medicinal purposes. You'd keep vodka for medicinal purposes. In case you got bit by a snake, you understand? You might have to wash it.
Just in case that happens.
God, Susan, it's so good to connect with you. I mean, we have so many stories. You know, Susan, I got to see the whole story. So people see you today, they see the most polished woman of influence and affluence. I mean, you've become an international star. I mean, people use terms like the rock star, diva. Well, they don't know what you went through in the triathlon and you cracked your pelvis in Malaysia. I've seen you at the bottom, Susan, just, and you've seen me go through challenges. But see, people, they hear this, they see the glory, but they don't know the whole story. They don't understand the price, and that the price never gets paid because there's no end to the price. It's a loop. It's like you don't ever really arrive. You're still arriving, and that's what's so refreshing about you, because you're still out there taking swings. I mean, I had the privilege of introducing you to Lori Earle, a woman who's a top publicist who was a publicist for some of the top bands in the world. And I mean, you know, all the people that you've met in this journey, you're still out there teaching skills, learning new skills. That's what's impressive about you, Susan.
Oh, thank you. It's not a, there's no arrived, right? Jeff, I've watched your story for the last decade and a half, and I know you. You know, you're not going to take your last breath and go, I've arrived, you know. And I remember you saying, you know, not too high, not too low. And we can't get attached. And life is a journey. You hear that all the time. And people mistakenly think, oh, when I have the Mercedes or I have the mansion or I have whatever, I will have arrived. You won't have arrived. And let me give you all a tip, folks. It's very, very important that you understand. We get whatever is aligned with our identity. So our identity shapes our existence. So if you are overweight, you have created an identity for yourself that aligns with overweight. You may be saying, well, Susan, you know, my parents were fishing in the shallow end of the genetic gene pool and blah, blah. Yeah, I was a fat kid. I was 200 pounds when I was 20. I get it, but I didn't lose the weight. I shifted my identity to a person who is lean and fit, and then my body followed. It's the same thing with money. If your money identity is the money comes in and it goes out, the money comes in and it goes out, or I never have enough money, you're not going to get money and sustain it until you shift your identity. It's the same thing with sobriety. It's the same thing with success. It's the same thing with anything. So how do you shift your identity? Number one is you get rid of anything that is confusing to your identity. So if I decided that, you know, I wanted to be a, you know, millionaire in network marketing, I already am, but let's say I'm not, but I decide this, then what do I do? When I decided I wanted to be a millionaire in network marketing, I had to shift my identity. So I made some declarations. One was I would have the personal phone numbers of 7 millionaires, people who made over $1 million a year. And I said, I remember hearing Jeffrey on Cutting Edge, I said, one of those people is going to be Jeffrey Combs. You know, and I know Jeffrey's number. It's in my phone. I know it off by heart. And that's one of the things. I had to shift my identity to I'm a you know, broke from, I'm broke, I have MS, I'm a single mom, I'm wearing all these scarlet letters like Nathaniel Hawthorne talks about, to my identity as a millionaire. The mistake that amateurs make is they're like, oh, I'm shifting my thinking. How come my results haven't shown up yet? Every time you get pulled into your old identity, you have to start again. That's why AA is 12 steps. So let's say I was an alcoholic, an addict, and I say, well, I'm going to shift my identity to sobriety, and I go for 30 days and I get my chip, and then I go drink again. At AA, they say, you start all over again, friend. You don't get to go, I'm a 30-day plus one. You know, I was an alcoholic for one day. It doesn't work like that. So as we shift our identity, we have to do a few things. One is we have to get rid of anything that sends confusing messages, okay? That's
the mixed message. The mixed message.
Yeah. And Jeffrey, talk about that. When you decided to get sober, you had some people in your life who were not supportive of your sobriety, and they were sending mixed messages. Can you talk about how you got rid of some of that?
Well, I did. It was a decision. Unfortunately for me, I'm not somebody who gets attached too easily, so I was able to evaluate the situation and say, there's certain people I can't afford to have in my life anymore. And through the law of attraction, I'd attracted a lot of people of like mind like me who were addicted to drugs, alcohol, partying, avoiding, and most of all, were a lot of avoiding responsibility. It was a simple equation for me. I had to grow up. I was 30 years old, and I was still trying to be a party boy, and it just wasn't going to work anymore. I had to separate my feelings from the events that shaped them, and I separated people from associations that no longer serve me. And I mean, it wasn't a difficult decision for me. I didn't feel guilty. I didn't feel resentful. I mean, when the pain was great enough for me, I was done. I mean, I was so done with this. I had the privilege of spending a 2.5-day event once with C.G. Siddons, and she said that in an event. I've never forgotten. I mean, no one's ever said it better than she said it. She was, I am so done with this. Now, she had another word that she added for inflection, and she was done with it. And it wasn't a just for her, just like it was. I didn't just get sober. There's no justing, and it wasn't something I put on a suit of armor and went out and jousted. It wasn't just. I mean, it was a let go. Letting go means separating your feelings from the events that shaped them. I mean, letting go is like two of the most nebulous terms, and David Hawkins wrote one of the greatest books ever on that topic, Letting Go by David Hawkins. And when you're able to separate your feelings from the events, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape those feelings. So then you're not in a mixed message, Susan. When you're able to separate those feelings, then you're able to change your awareness. That type of awareness changes your emotional vibration, your feelings. It creates a different kind of quantum field in you. When you're emotionally addicted to being overwhelmed or emotionally addicted to people who you continue to let violate you so you can be the counterforce to their force, your energetic field of vibration attracts perpetrators, violators, and then people of low calibrated energy so you can fulfill your disappointment. As you begin to transcend levels of consciousness, have a better understanding of cause and effect, like you did and live and teach, as you start to live in that kind of energy, then your magnetism changes. And then, just like you talked about earlier, your law of alignment changes. Then the parking spaces and the restaurants appear. Susan Slies show up in your life. Alexis Romano comes to your event and that's a whole other situation. I mean, Nancy McAllister was there. Alexis Romano was there. I mean, a whole group of women that you'd attracted, and that created a whole chain of events for me that come out of that. C.G. Siddons, Tara Romano, Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, they all show up in a 90-day period, Susan, and you were the 6 degrees of separation through the call you had on Monday morning, which was all part of my letting go years ago, so we are all connected. Remember how this all happens?
I do. Syracuse, New York.
June 28th, 2011.
Mm-hmm. I remember it well. That's the power of that. The power of letting go of these things that are sending the confusing signals. It was my birthday a couple weeks ago, and when I say I teach organization and productivity, I live it. So, Chris,
so do I. I live an organized life. It's an identity. It's a habit. It's who I am. It's who I'm being. I'm being organized.
Exactly. It's your identity. I've been to your house, and I can vouch. Jeffrey is highly, highly organized.
Vacuum cleaner in every room.
People say to me, oh, I have kids. I can't be organized. Well, sweetheart, I have kids, and I have no nanny, and I'm organized. Like tonight, before I just taught my course. I'm teaching a course right now, an organizational course online. I sat in a parent meeting for 2 hours because one of my kids got a part in this play. So I sat in this meeting. Then I came home. Chris did the baton pass. I made all of our meals for 3 days on Sunday night. I got up this morning. I made the meal for tonight. I came through the door. Chris passed me a cup of organic homemade mushroom soup that I made on the weekend. And I had the soup, talked to my husband, came in, sat down, and produced. And here I am still, right? It's just that. It was my birthday. And so Chris said, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I've been traveling. I was telling Jeffrey in the last 4 weeks alone, I've been in Africa, I've been in Italy, I've been in Columbus, Ohio, Boston, I've been in Toronto. And I said, you know what I want to do, babe? I want to just take the afternoon and I want to organize my closet and my office. That's what I wanted to do. And not that it was messy. I don't have clothes on the floor. I don't have any. And some of you would walk in and be like, wow, it's super organized. But I went through, and this is one of the things I do with regard to the mixed messages. Every month to 6 weeks, I go through, and if I have something that energetically doesn't feel good to me, it goes. If it was given to me by someone who is chaos addict or, you know, aggressive, it goes. If I look at it and it causes me to feel anything other than good, it goes. Because when you want to produce, you have to produce from a place that is very, very high vibrational and high conscious. Because people are so in tune, they will feel your intent. And so that's what I did on my birthday, and my students were laughing because they were like, oh, that's so typical. But it's things like this. If you have kids and you have a job and you're doing network marketing, this is the stuff I do. You can read my blog, SusanSly.com, because all the articles are about stuff just like this. I, you know, Sunday nights, I cut up all the vegetables for the kids. I plan all the week of meals. I go to the grocery store. I make all the food. And, you know, Chris, my husband, is amazing. We work together, so he also does his share. I don't think he doesn't. But even this morning, I was up at 4:30 in the morning. I prayed. I meditated. Getting the kids ready. Chris and I went for a run. Our son is 14 now, so he can watch the younger ones go for a quick run. Chris took the kids this morning. I made tonight's dinner. Then I went in my office and I produce. I went to my hot yoga class, came back in, quick showered in a meeting, afternoon, calls, go into theater mom, teach my class. Now I'm here. That's a typical day.
But this isn't overwhelming either, Susan. This is a very relaxed presence you live in. This is not, you're not like a moving part that the parts are coming off the side. This is a very relaxed, energetic vibration you live in. I mean, you're a student of many healing modalities. You're also a student of many forms of spirituality. But people are going, oh my God, I could never do this. You're right. They couldn't do it because they don't understand how to be and stay organized. Being organized is a skill. But the minute you say, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, you're out before you're in. Can you touch on that?
For sure. One of my favorite things to say to my students is, with clarity and certainty, there can be no overwhelm. If you're overwhelmed, you're not clear and you're not certain, and you don't know what you're doing, and your priorities are messed up. Everything I do is deliberate. And so for me, and you know, Jeffrey knows this story, so I grew up in a very broken home. I'm the product of double divorce, two divorces on both sides, and I was raised by a single dad. My mother struggled with, you know, severe mental issues. She was very abusive. You know, she was sexually abusive to me, so I'm just going to throw that out there. And, you know, guys, I'll tell you something. For me in my life, it's a choice. We choose not to have a nanny. I choose to make the meals because it's something I want to do. I don't do it out of guilt or obligation, but it's done out of love. And when you're doing anything, whether you're prospecting, following up, being with your kids, being with your partner, whoever it is, if you're doing it out of love, then yes, it's not going to feel overwhelming. But when you're doing things out of guilt and obligation, then you know what? You probably need to look in the mirror and give your head a shake, because the things that you now complain about are the things you used to dream about. Oh, I wish I'd have a downline of 1,000 people. Now you do, and you're complaining about them. Or, oh, I wish I'd get married, and now you're married, and you're complaining about your partner. Like, give me a break. So it's very cathartic to understand that no matter, as I said, I just got back from Africa. I can walk in a village in Africa, and I can see children who are emaciated. There are still, in Malawi, where my oldest daughter's from, there are still witch doctors who give little young virgin girls to men with AIDS to have sex with to cleanse the AIDS. It's an ongoing problem there. People who are albino, they were cutting up their body parts and making tinctures and medicines to cleanse people of AIDS. I mean, we're talking about like very primal, and you're complaining about stuff, or the work I did in Cambodia with girls who've been trafficked, like sex trafficked, and I'm like, what have you got to complain about? And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I think any trainer, author who's like, I'm perfect, I know all the answers, you know, go to their house, see how they live. I don't think any of us are perfect. But, you know, sometimes I get to the point where I'm a little bit vulnerable, and I might think, oh gosh, you know, this situation is really bothering me, or something's really bothering me. And I have to give my head a shake, because I know that when I'm in that place, it's a slippery slope to go into overwhelm. And the moment I identify with overwhelm, the moment I will be overwhelmed. So write this down if you're taking notes. Our world is always a reflection back to us of our identity. So if you're still identifying with the scared, you know, small child that you were, and, you know, who was abused, then I guarantee you, you're attracting a lot of people who are abusive to you and taking advantage of you. But if you have managed to shift your identity, I teach my students, if you need to shift your identity, shift your environment first, because our environment reflects back to us. It's one of the easiest ways to, you know, change your state very quickly. If you begin to shift your identity to wealth, shift your identity to success, shift your identity to organization, to balance, your world will immediately fall into line, right? It's going to fall into line. Now, I want to underscore immediately. Now, in my mind, immediately is not necessarily a state of time, but it's an intention. And so when immediately happens and the intention happens, so when Jeffrey said years ago his identity is now being sober, well, the identity shifted and the world around him immediately began to shift, but it wasn't necessarily the big changes that didn't show up until later. And that's for all of you. When this immediacy happens, the right people and the right circumstances are going to begin to come to you, but you have to be present to see it. And if you slide into overwhelm, you are never, ever, ever going to take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves to you.
And overwhelm is a direct correlation of being rebellious and being disorganized and then not having a system. That's what so many people do. And then the challenge with it is you can't master the moving parts of any kind of success in an overwhelmed state. Being overwhelmed is an addiction, Susan, that leads to disorganization. It's why so many people are unorganized, is because they're overwhelmed. Overwhelmed is the emotional addiction based on a series of unpredictable events, and that's what happens to most people. They grow up in dysfunction, they've been violated, they've been traumatized, and they live with passive-aggressive people in their circle of influence. It creates an unpredictability in the neocortex of the left brain, and then that creates the overwhelmed state. That overwhelmed state becomes an identity. And so when you're discussing identity, how do you assist your students overcome being overwhelmed?
That's a great question.
And I knew you'd be up for the answer.
Yeah. I teach two levels of courses. So the first level, Organize Your Life, the Fundamentals, we look at all areas of your life, because you can't be highly proficient in one area and be in chaos in the others. All areas are interrelated. Okay, that's the bottom line. So in that course, we clean up all areas of your life, and we deal with things like the monkey on your back. So I've had students who haven't filed taxes for like 5 years. We get stuff like that dealt with. We get their environment cleaned up. In the first class, we focus on what is your number one goal. And you know, when we think about a primary goal, what is the most important thing to you now? And then we start to do work in the area of your home that is a reflection of that goal. So, for example, if it's weight loss, we're going to clean up the kitchen first. I had a client, and her marriage was in shambles. Like, it was bad. And I said to her, send me a picture of your bedroom. Now, Jeffrey, you can probably predict what this bedroom looked like. For our listeners, I will tell you. So she had piles of laundry all over the bedroom, and there were literally 12 laundry baskets full of laundry in the bedroom, to the point where you couldn't even get to the bed. There was a treadmill in the bedroom, and it was covered in clothes. And so imagine that the first thing she sees when she wakes up in the morning and he sees is all this chaos, and the last thing they see at night is chaos. So they were not being intimate in their relationship. They were fighting all the time. And I said to her, we'll call her Lisa. I said, Lisa, I need you to clean up that bedroom, and you've got 24 hours to do it. She's like, but. And I said, don't tell me that your primary goal is to heal your relationship if you're not willing to do the work. So needless to say, she cleans up the bedroom. She reorganizes it, because I also give some feng shui tips in the class, and then their marriage is healed. Now, I know some of you were thinking, oh, Susan, that sounds way too easy. In this particular case, it was as simple as that. For my students and clients who are focused on making more money, we clean up the office space, we clean up the banking, we have a week on healing relationships, we have a week where we focus on money and finances. Almost 50% of Americans don't have a will, so that's your homework that week. You've got to get it done. And we have 100% money back guarantee, and I say to people, I'd rather have you here because you want to be here, but if you're dissatisfied even in week one, I'll give you your money back. I don't care. So it's going around the world, and I have a funny story. So I also have a book called Organize Your Life, and I was, Jeffrey, you'll love this. So I'm in Italy. I'm commuting back from Ethiopia, and at the airport, I was going from the airport to taking a bus to the tarmac where the plane was. And so I'm flying United, like you and I do, you know. So I'm coming out of the airport to board the bus, and the security guy is there, and he looks at me. He's like, are you Susan Sly, in this beautiful Italian accent? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, my mother and I just read your book, and we're going crazy. It changed our life. We're using your principles. We're using the five principles. We're doing all this stuff, which is really cool. And so it's the principles that I teach, number one, they're simple. Number two, they cost very little money to implement, if any money at all. I teach you how to manage your time, how to set healthy boundaries. I get lots of emails, you save my marriage, my relationships are stronger. And then the second level, once you do that one, you can come into my course for entrepreneurs, which is very specifically for people who have businesses, and it's very, very powerful. I love what I do. I've put over 1,000 people through my program. Lots of people, you know, millionaires have taken it. A friend of mine who works for Tony Robbins took it and fell in love with the work and stuff like that. So I love, love, love it. And this year I only taught it once. I am scheduled only to teach it once next year, and it starts in January on the 17th.
And it's definitely a course of value that everyone on tonight's call deserves to participate in. You have become the queen of organization. And I grew up with a set of parents that were not organized. I became organized in their overwhelmed chaos. I've been organized my whole life. So for me, it was innate, but I also have enhanced my ability to be and stay organized. Organization is an identity, it's a skill, it's a habit, but it's a B state. It's not something you do. You can get organized, but you have to have a system to stay organized, and that's what your course is, that's the real value of it, because it gives you a system to be and stay. It's not a get. Anyone can get their desk clean, but you require a system to keep your desk in an organized state so you can create the flow. Because your desk is your really house of money. Because, like I said, at my desk right here tonight, it's a 100-year-old desk. It's an Art Deco desk. It's one I dreamed of. $30 million have passed through this desk. I mean, I've sat right here where I'm sitting right here tonight for the last 18 years and produced from it. And very few people have the ability to be in a stationary place in an organized environment to be able to produce results from the comfort of their home because they get so overwhelmed and they talk themselves out of success because success would contradict their struggle. Mm-hmm. Susan, I know you put together a great offer for everyone on tonight's call. I'm looking at the numbers. The call is absolutely packed. Go ahead and share with the audience what you put together for them.
Thank you. So my course, Organize Your Life, and check with your CPA. A lot of our students are able to claim it as a tax deduction because it is a business course. It is a 6-week course. I teach it on Zoom, so it's virtual. If you miss a class, you do get the recording link, and we leave the recordings up in a private group for 6 weeks. You are held accountable in the group. You will be putting your photos out there. We're going to be coaching you through the process, which is amazing. And I teach my course live. Now, when I teach the business course, the second level, I do bring in a CPA and a lawyer because we're dealing with contracts and, you know, all sorts of fun stuff like that. So we deal with taxes, and that's great. But I teach this live myself, and it is interactive. So this class, when you think about it, you get 6 weeks with me. You come out the other end. You're organized. You're in state, as Jeffrey says, and you stay there. It's powerful. And so the list price online is $397. The early bird pricing is $247. But because you are all friends of Jeffrey's, we're going to give you a $50 off coupon, and that expires actually tonight. Tisha did it. I believe it expires tomorrow at midnight. Don't quote me on tonight. And it's I Am Ready. Now, it's small, so I Am Ready. So when you go to the checkout, it'll ask you for your coupon code, I Am Ready, and you go to www.susanfly.com. You click the shop button. You are going to see my 3 courses with all the logos, and you want Organize Your Life, which starts, again, January 17th. It is taught at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every week you will get the link, you will get the recording, you will get everything. And people rave about this class. And so that is the offer I have. It is very generous because, again, it is basically 50% off the list price that you see online.
Susan, thank you for being on tonight's call. You're a great friend, world-class, internationally renowned speaker, author, philanthropist, and first-class human being. I know that many, I've been watching the Facebook messages pour in saying this content is outstanding. I know Brittany Carr has her whole team on here, and she sent me a message to let me know how much she loves you and me. That is fantastic.
Love you too, Brittany.
You know, she's crushing it. She is absolutely crushing it. I've watched so many people that you and I have known in the last 15 years, especially the last 2 years. Before we go, I just want to say that, don't you believe that now is the best time ever in the history of Canada, America, Australia to be in network marketing and direct sales? Touch on that for 10 seconds if you can.
Absolutely. As Jeffrey and I said earlier, if you weren't doing network marketing back in like 2000, 2001, late 90s, you don't know how good you have it now. I mean, really and truly, basically every company out there, you just have to buy your product, get your website, and go. And we're seeing people who invest very little, who are able to pay for their products or pay their mortgage or do whatever. And we're, Jeffrey and I aren't saying it's easy. There's nothing easy out there. But I want to use this analogy just to close. I want you to think for a minute how glamorous it is right now, because after I get off this call and I have a date night with my husband, we're going to watch HGTV. That's what we do. But I want you to think about how glamorous it is right now to flip houses. But if Jeffrey and I were going to go into a house flipping business, we would have to invest a certain amount of money. We'd have to buy the fixer-upper. Then we'd have to invest a lot of time, effort, energy. We'd have to get contractors. We'd invest a lot of money to flip that house. And we pray to God that the house is going to flip in a short period of time. And on TV, they make it look great. You know, the woman walks in and she's got the Louis Vuitton handbag and she's wearing Christian Louboutins on a construction site. It's not really like that. And then we're lucky because they talk about all these flips where you make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. That's not what the average person is. The average person who's in real estate who has, say, a rental property makes about $200 a door. So you're like, yeah, I'm in real estate and I have a rental property. It's got 2 units. I'm making $400 a month. That's what I'm netting. And we don't think network marketing is professional. Give me a break. What my challenge is to all of you, and I said this when I was a guest for Richard Blissbrook I want you to start to identify network marketing in the same way you would any other professional, a physician, a lawyer, a CPA, whoever it is. And don't be that person who goes out there and is catty and backstabs and talks about people from other companies and does all that stuff. That makes us all look bad and it makes you look bad. I want you to go out there and elevate this profession. Declare yourself a professional. Stay plugged into what Jeffrey has to train because Jeffrey is the consummate professional. I would love to work with all of you in my Organize Your Life class. As I said, the spots are limited. Do get registered because we do not keep these kinds of offers going. And in fact, Jeffrey is the only one we gave this offer to. So if you want to get that great price of $197, that's very reasonable for 6 weeks of coaching with me, go ahead, do it tonight. I would love to see you in January. God bless. Go out there and rock it. Let's all elevate this together. And thank you, Jeffrey, for having me.
I love it, Susan. Love you, and you have an outstanding evening. Thanks for being a world-class guest, friend, and philanthropist. Have a great evening, everyone. Bye.
Goodbye.